Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, and they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. And if you want to know why, well, why does God hate these people so bad? Destroying them all. It just sounds terrible. Catch version one of Between the Lines with David and Jonathan, and you'll see that there are two bloodlines in this earth, the seed of the serpent and the seed of Adam. And there was a whole lot more went on in the Bible. There was a whole lot more than just an apple. There were two children in the womb of Eve with two different fathers. I tell you, go to WVFFradio.com and catch up, and your eyes will be open to the spiritual battle that's going on in this world from the very first moment until this day today. It's why God was so harsh with these people, and he had been working with these people in the past. That's why he'd left Israel in Egypt for 400 years. He says, I'm working with these people. They're starting to transgress against me. You know, salvation is there even for them. When Cain's sacrifice was not accepted, God says, why is your countenance low? Did you not know that there's salvation even for you? Even for you. There are two bloodlines in this world. These people were the other. God didn't want this bloodline mixing with that one. He said exactly what would happen when they do, and don't do it, and they do it anyway.
The interloper's bloodline, or yes. the one who comes in who doesn't belong.
Exactly right. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. That doesn't mean God did not have a way for these other people, because we see other covenants. We just seen that with Balaam a little while back. He was not a Hebrew, but he spoke with God. God is there for all, but you got to go the route that he tells you to go. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. In my mind, God is out there during the time of Abraham, and he is speaking with a lot of people, because we see a lot of different people here that know God. And he come upon Abraham, and Abraham's heart was so true and so straightforward, and he accepted God wholeheartedly and followed after him. And God said, I will make a people out of this man. That's what he just described. You weren't a special people. You weren't a great in number of people. You came from a man who followed me with all of his heart. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, repayeth them that hate him to their face. To destroy them he will not be slack. To him that hateth him he will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. Follow God's rules, and he will keep his promises. It's that easy. And he's made 150 different ways, so when you don't follow his rules, you can fix it. Call the law. Very binding. But he had to do it because these people refused the original covenant of follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land. thy corn, thy wine, and thine oil, and increase in thine kine, and the flocks of thy sheep, the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall be not be male or female barren among you, or among your cattle. The Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Between the lines, that little bit right there tells me that not following God places all sorts of physical and medical problems into this world. Mm-hmm. People that can't get pregnant. They got to go all of these doctors trying to get pregnant. It's not a medical problem. It is a sin problem in your life, in your father and mother's life, in their parents' lives. I will curse thee to the third and fourth generation of those that hate me. And medical science fights against this law constantly every day. Jesus, when he healed the man, what did he say? He says, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you, lest a worse disease come upon you. What does it all amount to? It amounts to sin and not following God. That's why you have physical afflictions. That's why you have mental afflictions. Follow God with all your heart, and he promises you right here that you'll have a healthy body. Your children will be born with no problem. Your cattle will reproduce with no problems. Everything in your economy will be good. Not that he will not put obstacles there to prove you sometimes, because he does. He wants to test your faith. He does it to all of us. And if you overcome that, then the blessings will even be more.
That's a good point that you said there, because I think that would relieve a lot of women who are actually barren to understand that, on a spiritual, in the plane of spirituality, that it may not be them that has caused the affliction to come on to themselves, but yeah. It's coming from prior generations coming
absolutely
down to them.
Yeah.
Because I believe that a lot of women probably, they probably pray for it, and I know they do. They pray for it and everything like that, and it's like, well, why can't this happen? Why can't this happen? That's basically hitting a nail on the head.
Yeah.
Because everybody goes to the human, the human side going, well, there's something wrong with my body. Gotta go see the doctor.
Yeah. And what if God has somebody that hated him horribly? What if he just says, okay,
right,
your line ends.
Right, your great-granddad did.
Yeah.
Your great-granddad hated him, and, not you personally, but this person we're speaking about.
Yep.
But,
your line ends, and three generations later, nobody can get pregnant. What do you do about it at that point? God said your line ends,
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's sad, but it's all brought about by sin. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods. That will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. Now, we already went through that, because 40 years earlier, God had them on the bank of the river, ready to cross over into the promised land. They sent the 12 spies over there. 10 of them come back and says, oh my gosh, these people are powerful and tall and giants and walled cities. And two of them came back and said, oh, this is a wonderful place. Let's go now. Yeah. Let's not even wait till tomorrow. Let's go now. God is with us.
You see the size of these grapes?
Yeah. It took two men to carry a branch of grapes back. But the 10 went out into, how gossip is. And mm-hmm. God says, that's one thing you don't do.
Oh, yes.
Gossip of the 10 went all through the 2.5 million people in the congregation, and they all got depressed. Oh, woe is us. God brought us out here to be wiped out by the sword. Now, mm-hmm. What was the first one? Wiped out thirst.
Yeah, thirst.
Yeah, God brought us out here to die of thirst, then hunger.
Yeah.
And then now,
even though they're eating manna.
Yeah. they were tired of that.
Yeah.
The angel food. it's good, but man, that's all we've had for 8 months now. So now he brought us out here to die by the sword. Let's go back to Egypt.
Yep.
And so God wiped out every man from 20 years old and up in the wilderness. I mean, him and Moses got in a big argument. I'm going to wipe them out right now. I'm going to kill them all. He's raising his staff up, and Moses falls on his face again. Please, Lord, don't do it.
No, no.
What will it say on the 5 o'clock news? The other nations will see that you, all these miracles you did, you brought them out here, and then you just wiped them out. What kind of God does that?
Squash them like cockroaches or something.
God says, all right, these people that you brought out of Egypt, Moses, all right. And then Moses reminded him, no, you brought them out. You just told me to do it. So then God says, okay. He repented of his immediate destruction and said, all right, they're going to wander around the wilderness for 40 years till every one of them that doubted me dies over the age of 20. So he just says right there again, if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? He's warning them again.
Don't
have
doubt.
No doubt. That's in right. Thine heart. Mm-hmm. That's the spirit man.
Mm-hmm. Well, your head can say anything, but yeah. If you're rock solid in here, yeah,
that's exactly right.
Different.
Because the head is out of control a lot of the times.
Yeah.
The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. God will go before. That's what he said before. I send my angel before you to dispossess these people, to get them ready to move out of here. And he says, I will put the fear of God in them of you.
And they should know how serious that is, being said they've had that encounter with the angel in Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
Over the night.
Yeah, yeah.
And then not making light of that. Good Lord.
Oh, yeah. Went through the land and killed every firstborn.
Yep.
I mean, these people have seen more. Well, that generation's dead.
Right.
That actually seen, except for the women and children. There's a few of them that remember. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. That is a spiritual angel to dislodge them, to antagonize them. Any that are left, God says, I will root them out. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. And he said this earlier in slightly different words. He says, even though we estimate now they're probably 2.5-3 million people, that's not enough to fill the land up. So he says, I'm going to move these people out slowly so your populations increase to where you actually inhabit the land fully. Mm-hmm. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. He shall deliver their kings under thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven, and shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared. Remember that therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Any of this silver or gold that was an image of one of these foreign nations' gods, you will destroy it. You won't keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing. Like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Watch out, Christian, what you bring into your house.
Mm-hmm.
That is a serious thing. You bring it into your house. There are spiritual powers involved in all sorts of things. You bring a Ouija board into your house.
Yes.
You are opening up dark doors that you don't want.
And even the people in the occult that, you know, they claim that they have the market cornered and understanding it, they have no idea what they're messing with.
No.
I mean, they can do stuff to manipulate stuff to a certain degree and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, they have no idea what they're messing with.
But that dark power is very fulfilling for them. Once they start dabbling in it, they have no idea that power just wants to destroy them.
Uh-huh. And it wants them to feel good, so it owns their soul at the end of it.
Yeah. Ouija boards, tarot cards, you know. Anything that your heart following God says, I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about if that's a good thing. It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
If your heart says it one time, it's not a good thing. Don't stand there looking at it and think, oh, maybe it doesn't mean anything.
Well, that's a good point, too. The spirit person will tell you when things are off, and that's up to your discernment as to whether you're going to ignore him when he's talking, or ignore it while he's talking to you or not.
As long as he is following God.
Yes, yes.
If you put him to sleep through excess food, wine, pleasure, he won't say very much.
Oh, no.
He'll cry out for help occasionally, but he won't say very much. Chapter 8, Book of Deuteronomy on WVFF 97.7, here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. Glad you could be with us. God's amazing book full of truth and life. And it's okay to have fun with God's Word. He's the author of love and fun. You don't have to be stately every time you read the Bible. Alexander Scorby.
Yeah, right.
Although he's got a wonderful voice.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Yes. I've listened to him many times. Chapter 8. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in the possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And never sweared it unto them. And that's a reoccurring theme all through Leviticus and Numbers and now into Deuteronomy. Those three followed after God. And that's where Moses said here a little while ago, this covenant he gives us, not your fathers. He had a different covenant with them. It was a simple one. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. But us, we haven't been able to follow that simplicity. So he put a massive law on us, a different covenant altogether. So it is what it is. We got to keep it. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Interesting, man does not live by bread alone, because there was no food. And God said, I will rain manna from heaven. So it wasn't the bread that kept him, it was the word of God that kept him.
And that's the sentence that Jesus used against the tempter.
Yeah,
right there.
Exactly right. Yeah. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Interesting. Did you realize that, Jonathan?
No, I thought about it, but never really took in full scope of it.
Yeah, the clothes never wore out. His shoes never wore out because he constantly had them going. They had very little time to make new articles and new shoes. What an amazing thing. Yeah, we're out here because we're being punished. It's amazing. I've had the same jacket for 20 years, and it
looks... Maybe a smudge on it.
Yeah, it looks exactly perfect. These are the best camel sole shoes I've ever had. Man, we must... What have we walked? 6,000 miles now?
Yeah. The tread's not even worn.
No. Thou should also consider in thine heart that as a man chastiseth his son, so the Lord thy God chastiseth thee. And yes, you know, you have grace in Jesus Christ. And Paul says nothing is illegal for the Christian, but some things aren't good for the Christian. Does that give you the authority to sin blatantly? No, it does not. God forbid, as the Lord will put a rod to your back, and you will pay for your sins in this life. One of my favorite sayings, Jesus died for your spiritual sins to make you holy, to go into the next life. But whatever you do in this life, you will pay in some fashion for your sins. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths of springs, out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Anything that you could want, I am bringing you into this land that has everything that you need. I, the Lord, through my words, am providing. Mm-hmm. I shall not live by bread alone. through the, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God made this with the words that he spoke. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, America, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. America has forgotten where we came from, our foundations in God. We became fat, and we fed ourselves more than we needed. Now we say we are great, we are strong, and nothing will ever stop that. We are the United States of America, the greatest nation in the world, and nothing will ever befall us. But that's not, if you catch our special presentations of Between the Lines with David and Jonathan, at times such as this prophecy of America, you will see there is a fall coming. It's because America has grown fat and has wearied God. God put America here for two reasons. He set us apart from the European and Asian influences so we could grow as a Christian nation, and we did. And the reason was so that we could evangelize the world, send the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of God will reach every corner of the earth before the end, and it has, and America was vital in that role. And there's one other thing coming up that America has to do. America has to protect Israel in one of the final battles, and catch one of our episodes. What's it called, Jonathan?
Between the Lines. A time such as this.
Time such as this.
That's right.
Yes, and you will see America's in this book in many places. And you'll even catch an upcoming episode where the United States delivers the Ark of the Covenant back to Mount Zion in the end days. It's in this book, believe it or not.
Now, Dave, before we jump off of this, all right, number 10, I know I'm coming back a little bit here. All right, eaten in our full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good of the land which he had given thee.
Yeah.
All right. Now, in my mind, I'm sitting here, and I know that, you know, speaking metaphors about everything that's being done unto them and stuff like that, but I was thinking about, like, sitting at a table eating to the point of getting full, and, like, would you say, I mean, you say grace before you eat. Would you say a blessing to close it out afterwards?
No, you bless the food before you eat, and you thank God for the food afterwards.
Well, yeah. Right. What I mean is after you get full, after you've already eaten and you're sitting back, like, yeah. Nobody yeah. really goes, you know,
yeah.
into yeah. prayer mode after that.
They don't, and that's what he says in the next verse. Lest you eat and get full and forget about me. But it is, you know, bless this food, Lord.
Right, right.
May it be healthy for our bodies, and afterwards, thank you, Lord.
Yeah,
yeah. Because I know it came from you.
Right, because most times whenever I get too full, I'm going to nap.
Yeah, food coma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too many food comas, the spirit man goes into a coma.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought where there was no water, who brought thee water forth out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. Thou say in thine heart, my power and my might are mine. Hand hath gotten me this wealth, America. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get thee wealth, that he hath established his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Don't become fat and forget who I am. Moses is writing right here. Because he knows, because he's getting ready to write the entire future of the nation of Israel. He knows exactly. Moses was an amazing man. Like Abraham, he followed God with all of his heart. Spoke directly with God. And God has given him spiritual insight. And he knows what's going to happen. And he's sitting here on his last days, scribbling out as much guidance as he can. Because as though these people were such a burden to him, he does love them. And he has fallen on his face too many times to not care.
He's probably got a callus on his forehead.
Yeah, probably does. He's one of them styrofoam helmets. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. You've been with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, God's amazing book, the book of Deuteronomy. Right close to Moses' death, he's trying to remind the children of Israel who they are, what God they serve, how they serve him, and what not to do to get out of his grace. We'll catch you next time on WVFF 97.7. Good day.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.